Oregon. Channel Glen Straits program. The town of the volunteer channel way to support our channel.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم.
صبح مدینہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ. یہ صبح مدینہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ. مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر مد نظر احترام مدینہ، مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر مد نظر احترام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، مدینہ 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 مدینہ، برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ، مدینہ 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 مدینہ، برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders, brothers, our mothers and sisters, those who may be listening or streaming, this is a program in which we make an effort to discuss matters which are specifically related to our spirituality. And one's spirituality is something which cannot be seen. No one can see the level of taqwa of the next person. And sometimes something which may appear to be a sign of taqwa could in fact be something totally different. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows the level of taqwa in the heart of each person. That is why Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. That do not make a claim of piety for yourself. Do not make any bold claim of piety for yourself, or that you are very muttaqi. That, oh, I am a very pious person, I have got a high degree of taqwa. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. In fact, it is Allah who knows who has got taqwa. Sometimes you may look at that person and you may feel he has got no taqwa. The other day one person came to me and said that, you know, a certain mufti sahab has got such a high degree of taqwa. He said, why? He said, once we were traveling with him and the masah on the socks We know that according to many muftis, that it is permissible to make masa on the seal skin socks. Some muftis say it's not permissible. So this mufti told that person that, see, if you are going to make masa on that seal skin socks, then I cannot perform salah behind you. So he said, look at the level of taqwa of that mufti sahab, that he was not prepared to read salah behind a person who was making masa on the seal skin socks. So the reality is that that's no measurement of taqwa. In fact, that is an indication that this mufti sahab lacks tolerance. Now outwardly the lay person, the layman, will look at the mufti sahab and say, Subhanallah, what high degree of taqwa he has got. When in fact the person who Allah has blessed with knowledge, with ilm, will say that in fact this is an indication that this mufti sahab does not tolerate the view of others. There's a famous incident of a scholar of hadith of the Shafi'i madhab, and he was going to visit a Hanafi, great Hanafi alim. So when he went to visit that Hanafi alim, then he followed everything that the Hanafi alim would have done. And it just so happened the Hanafi alim was making imamah, so he performed his salah in accordance to the Shafi'i madhab on that occasion, showing the degree of tolerance for each other. And today we find the total opposite. It's my way or it is the highway. There's only one way. The way I say it is, and that is it. Yet we know the muftis, when they issue any fatwa, they are applying their mind and they're coming up with a conclusion. They could either be right or they could be wrong. And Nabi Kareem Sahib, he said, the mufti when he issues a fatwa, if he gets it right, he gets double reward. If he gets it wrong, he gets one reward. Meaning that there is a possibility that the mufti could get it right or he could get it wrong. There's both possibilities. So our perception of taqwa is something totally different. We may think that somebody has got very high degree of taqwa, and the incident that we mentioned, that there is room for difference of opinion with regards to making masa on the seal skin socks, because according to many muftis it fulfills the criteria of the mawza. Other muftis disagree. So this mufti sahab refused to perform salah behind an imam who made masa on that socks. So the people who saw it, they said that this mufti sahab has got very high level of taqwa. But those people who Allah has granted knowledge will in fact say that this is not taqwa. This is an indication of the lack of tolerance of the mufti. That he is not prepared to tolerate the opinion of someone else. Recently, we heard of a group of ulama who went from here to Haram Sharif for Umrah. And because in Makkah al-Mukarramah, the ulama and the muftis, and in fact the vast majority of the muftis around the world have given permissibility to social distance in the salah because of the pandemic. This is not a normal situation. So even you know, in Haram Sharif they perform salah with the media apart, the substua further apart. So this group of ulama went to Makkah Sharif, Haram Sharif, but they refused to perform salah in the Haram Sharif because they said that they are social. Imagine you went all the way to Makkah to Mukarramah and you were deprived of performing salah in the Haram Sharif because you were not prepared to tolerate the view of someone else. And now the layman, the ordinary person who doesn't have knowledge, they will say, Subhanallah, Narai Takbir, what high degree of taqwa these ulama had, that they went all the way to Haram Sharif and they stood on Quran and Sunnah. And they did not give in. What a high level of taqwa they have. Ordinary layman didn't get carried away. So Allah says in the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't make any claim of piety. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. It is Allah Ta'ala who knows who really has got taqwa. We may feel that the person has got taqwa. Our perception may be that this person has got a high degree of taqwa. But the reality is, in fact, this person has got a weakness that is not prepared to tolerate the views of others. So we must never make a claim of taqwa. And we should always be making an effort to develop this quality of taqwa, to work on our inner selves. And it's something that we cannot see. Allah is very such. We cannot see, I cannot see how much taqwa you have. Neither can you see within my heart. But when you sit in the company of someone and you find that there's certain inclinations, and you find that this person is following Quran and Sunnah, and you find that this person has got sincerity, these are indicators, these are signs. Allah Ta'ala grant us these qualities. So amongst the very important qualities that we all need to develop, it's the sifat and this quality of sincerity. Allah's Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْنِيَّةِ, that actions are dependent on their intentions. This word niyyat comes from nawa. Nawa in Arabic refers to a seed. They say that the higher the quality of the seed, somebody has to plant mangoes, or lychee is now, mashallah, lychee seed is coming soon up. Even mangoes for that matter, that the higher the quality of the seed, your harvest is going to be just as high. Somebody's got a very high quality mango seed, and he plants that seed, so what's he going to get out from there? Potatoes or mango? Mango. And the mango will be in accordance to the quality of the seed. He's going to get a high degree and an excellent harvest of seed, or fruit. And you'll get seeds too, because after you eat the fruit, then you get the seed also. So the lesson we learn, that dependent on the quality of the seed, that's the fruit that you will see. And just looking at the seed, one will never be able to know. Now if you present the seed, whole lot of seeds in front, somebody put whole lot of seeds there. And especially if we don't know about seeds, if somebody brings one seed of one thorn tree that's poisonous, and he puts it there and says, you know what, this is one of the best quality trees you can plant in your garden, especially if it's your enemy. So listen, you need to plant this right in front of your front door and see how beautiful it is. In the meantime, that's the seed of a poisonous plant. So when you put it in the ground, nothing. You'll be, subhanallah, inshallah, Allah send down the rain. I'm waiting for the seed to grow. It may take weeks, it may take months, it may take years. But then when people start getting cut and start getting sick and start landing up in hospital, now we say, what went wrong here? Where's the mangoes? How come no mangoes are coming out? People are getting sick from this tree. Now we're sitting with a bigger problem. In the same way, people are doing lots of things. And people get carried away with it. People get carried away with it. So somebody will build a big masjid. Somebody will build a big Darul Uloom. Somebody will open up some institution. Perhaps he was employed at a certain madrasa and it didn't work out for him. So he decides down the road he's opening his madrasa. Now he starts promoting his madrasa. What's the intention of promoting the madrasa? The question he has to ask himself or herself, that is my intention of promoting my madrasa so that I benefit the children, so that more people get linked to Allah Ta'ala, or is my intention to take revenge at that organization from which I came up? It happened in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Masjid al-Quba was built. The foundation of that masjid, Allah Ta'ala speaks about it. Ussisa ala taqwa. That Masjid al-Quba was the first masjid of Islam, its foundation was built on taqwa. And like I said, taqwa is something you can't see. If somebody goes to Masjid al-Quba to look for taqwa there on the floor, he's not going to find anything. He'll find sand. But Allah says that masjid, its foundation is based on taqwa, on the fear of Allah Ta'ala. The Munafiqeen got together. The hypocrites, they got together. They said, now you see, we also need to build our own masjid to counter that masjid. And they built this masjid where quietly they used to gather and they used to plot. They used to plot to harm the Muslims. They used to plot to harm Islam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, amongst the challenges that he faced in Madinatul Munawwara were the Munafiqeen. The Munafiqeen, that outwardly they portrayed piety. Outwardly they showed a smiling face from ear to ear. Outwardly they showed that they were great lovers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But in the hearts, it was the total opposite. This happened in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine in the presence of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were these Munafiqeen. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew exactly who they were. There were certain Sahaba, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would explain to them that so and so person is a Munafiq. So on one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that such and such person is coming. These are his weaknesses. He is an open Munafiq. But when he came in the presence of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met him, gave him honor, gave him respect. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when he said, Ya Rasulullah, why did you do this? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he is regarded as an honorable person in the community, hence I gave him that due honor. And on one occasion, the Sahaba Ikram asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, when you know exactly who the Munafiqeen are, why don't you just go on a campaign and wipe them out? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I do that, then the people around who I want to must come close to Islam will say that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is killing his own people. So they're not going to know who's the Munafiq and not Munafiq. Hence Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in a very difficult, precarious situation when he had to just deal with it. If this was the condition of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if this was the condition in the presence of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what can we say about what is our condition today? Today hypocrisy has become the currency of the time. Unfortunately, you will find, respected brothers, I am saying certain things, it has become the currency of the time where people sit in the company of the mashayikh, where people are close to the Ahlullah, but due to the hypocrisy they are creating mischief. They are creating mischief and they are turning ulama against ulama. They are turning families against families. They are turning organizations against organizations. This is the work of the Munafiqeen. That is why the greatest harm that was caused to Islam was not by the disbelievers. It was by the Munafiqeen from within. It was by the hypocrites from within. That is why the punishment for the munafiq is so intense. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِلَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala says the munafiqeen will be in the lowest pit of the fire of Jahannam. There will be no one to assist them. And these munafiqeen are just growing and growing and growing. Hypocrisy has become the currency of the time. Hence, we need to make an effort to move away from hypocrisy. Be true. Be honest. Be sincere. So this masjid was built, the grounds. Allah Ta'ala says, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسْلِسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَقُومَ فِيهِ. It is more rightful that you go to that masjid whose foundation has been built on taqwa. The masjid, on the contrary, which was built by the Munafiqeen, Allah Ta'ala coined that masjid and gave it the term of Masjid al-Dirar, the Masjid of Harm. Yet it was a masjid, a beautiful masjid. And people who didn't know much, they must have gotten carried away. Aha, look at this masjid. How much more beautiful it is compared to the first masjid, which was a basic structure. Allah Ta'ala throwing that masjid. That is why do not get carried away with external things. One person, one alim came to the madrasa. So he told me that mashallah a certain event took place. And mashallah, what a big crowd this event had. What a big crowd. So I corrected him. I said, Maulana, we must never base the success of our events on crowds. If you want to talk about crowds, if we are going to use a crowd as a measurement of the success of the event, then I'm afraid we'll lose against the actors and actresses. One concert they have 60, 70,000 people. One concert. So if we say that if you have a large crowd and that's a measurement of your success, then it means that they're successful. And it means that if a person has a small crowd, he's unsuccessful. So then was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unsuccessful when he was in Makkah al-Mukarramah and there were only 2-3 people who were sitting around him and accepted Islam? What was the condition? When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years in Makkah al-Mukarramah, when he was spreading Islam, did he have a large crowd? Battle of Badr, which took place in Medina to Munawwara, and that after he moved to Medina Sharif and migrated, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, what was the number? 300 persons. Ill-equipped. No equipment. Hardly anything they had. Weak. In Allah's eyes, were they unsuccessful? That is where never look at external situations. Never look at numbers. You will notice those people who Allah Ta'ala gives acceptance, sometimes they have very small numbers. And those people who make the biggest noises and who dramatize and are quick to condemn others, because of the drama, you will find more people flock to them. We like to hear this. Good. Let's see which person is going to condemn next. Ah, there he gave him one. He let him have it. I like the small stuff. Nice sitting in his money. Because he gives people uppercuts on the lower jaws. So you're getting drama there. So you will find that they have bigger crowds, generally speaking. And those people who call to unity, who call to moderation, who try and bring people together, you'll find nobody's interested in all of that. They want drama. So the people get bored. They want some thrill. But the reality is that Allah Ta'ala has created this deen and has sent Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to bring people together. To develop the true qualities of tolerance in our hearts. Now for example, we are hearing that we are approaching a second wave. People are getting sick again. Slowly people are going, landing into hospitals. So now as Muslims, it is our duty also to take precautions. This deen is a deen wherein we have to adopt the necessary means. You have to adopt the means of protecting yourself. If you know that the area around you is dangerous, so what do? We adopt the means. Now for example, now we can see that there are easels that are outside and the potential is that the easels can enter in the masjid. So what will we do? Whereas we can see people are standing up to close the windows. So they are adopting the means to prevent the easels or these creatures from entering the masjid. Now when we say that all these people who are closing the windows, they have got no yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, that the masjid is a protected place and there's no way that anything can enter the masjid. People get bitten by mosquitoes. That's why Taraweeh time, you'll find some people's entire Taraweeh namaz, the concentration is gone because they're trying to swat that mosquito that's there. Some people make the statement that no pandemic can enter the masjid because the masjid is a protected place. So if that's the case, then why is it that people's shoes get stolen in the masjid? What happened? That masjid wasn't protected. Haven't we heard of people's shoes getting stolen in the masjid? Haven't we heard of people getting robbed in the masjid? There are certain incidents where people, Allah protect, they got robbed in the masjid. People get emotional. And then if you say something, then they think, what you talk about Allah's house? The reality on the ground is something totally different. And if a person decided that he wants to wear a mask to protect himself from the potential of this disease entering his body, we must never turn around and say this person has got no yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Which unfortunately is happening. Look at this people wearing masks. They've got no yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala. And look at him. He's not wearing any mask. What level of yaqeen he has got? Do we say that? That if somebody parked his car in the taxi rank with the keys inside and the windows down, what level of tawakkul is that? Do we say that? What do we really say about that person? What do we say? We say that he's a world-class idiot. That's what we say. We say he's a world-class idiot, that he knows he's dangerous, and he leaves his key inside, and he doesn't adopt the precautions. He's mad. He knows he's dangerous. Why does he goes at night walking outside with money in his hand, in an area where there's thugs all around, and then he got robbed. What's wrong? Is he mad? That's what we're saying. Where's his brain? Why couldn't he take some precaution? Even the morning staff will say, even the same Mufti Sahib will say that we must adopt the means of precaution. But we find that this is a trick of Shaitan that is using the emotions of people to label the next one as having no yaqeen and this one having yaqeen. The reality is, respected Alim and brothers, this next wave, they haven't yet announced, but we have to be cautious. If we start seeing that people are getting sick, we should adopt the means. Put on the mask. If your Mufti Sahib says you're not allowed to wear the mask in Salah, no problem, keep the mask down in Namaz, but immediately after Salah, put it on. Although the vast majority of Muftis have said that it is totally permissible to wear the mask in Salah. But if a person is following the Mufti, and that Mufti said you're not allowed to wear the mask, it is haram and totally forbidden, and therefore even if you go Haram Sharif too, you mustn't go to the Haram Sharif because they're dealing with mask, then no problem, carry on. But don't condemn the next person. So therefore, this quality of sincerity we have to develop in our hearts. What is our condition? That when we do something, do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah. And we gave you the example. Somebody started an organization. The entire intention of the organization is corrupted. People are not going to see it immediately. It takes time for the fruit to come out. It takes time for the fruit to come out. After a while, when people start seeing the fruits of that ikhlas, of that sincerity, and Rasulullah SAW is the best example, that Nabi Kareem SAW worked on these Sahaba-i-Kiram. He worked on these companions. And Nabi Kareem SAW passed away. What did the Sahaba become? They became fruits from which millions of people benefited. We say, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ رَضُوا عَنْهُ. Every Sahabi was like a shining star. He was like a glittering star. He was a means of hidayah for not one or ten people, for millions of people till the day of Qiyamah. What was it? It was that ikhlas and the sincerity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today you go to Madinah Sharif, you won't find Masjid al-Zira. But up till now you go to Masjid al-Quba, go on a Saturday. Now lockdown things are different, but before the lockdown, ask anybody who goes to Masjid al-Quba on a Saturday, the crowds, you can't find space in the masjid. Yet when the masjid was being built, simple structure, Sahaba-i-Kiram in the heat of scorching heat, working with Nabi Kareem Sassam, mud and clay, simple little structure. Today look at the maqbooliyat and the acceptance that Allah has given that masjid, that every year millions of people go to visit. People considering, and it is rewarding, the way Kareem Shahasana mentioned, there is a sunnah and great virtue that on a Saturday a person goes to Masjid Quba and performs salah in that masjid. Masjid Nabawi. Simple little masjid, built hardly any funds. And today look at the masjid. So that seed, when that seed is planted, you're not going to see it. Now we have to make sure that any action we do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You are learning Quran Sharif, many of the youngsters. You are learning Quran Sharif, you are doing hifz. Do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, no ulterior motive. If you are going to do it so that my auntie and my cousin and my neighbor all start calling me Hafiz, so you'll get that. But if you did it for Allah Ta'ala, Allah will give you such rewards. And you'll also get that name and fame. But that was never your intention. That will be by the way. Because you must remember, if you're going to do something, whether it is some needy work, whether it is some charitable work, whether it is helping the poor, the needy, you decided that, listen, every week I'm going to give one loaf of bread or five loaves of bread to the poor people. And you did it solely for the pleasure of Allah, you will see the effect of it. But if you did it so that people start calling you very generous, it won't last too long. They'll call you generous, but then one week if you forget to give the bread, they start swearing you. Then look at this fellow. Forgot us. He forgot us. But if a person did it with sincerity, that he wasn't worried about any name and fame, any acknowledgement, any recognition, his intention or her intention was solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that action becomes khalif, it becomes pure, it becomes like that high quality seed that we mentioned. Now when that seed gets planted by Allah Ta'ala, now you see the effect. That the person gave one loaf of bread, one loaf of bread, but Allah gives it such maqbooliyat. I'll give you one example. Here in South Africa, the Deputy Chief Justice, he mentioned one incident. I think I mentioned it before, but it's coming to mind, so we mentioned it again. He said he was a young boy. He finished his matric. He managed to get a bursary and he wanted to study law. But he was the sole breadwinner in the house. What used to happen is, after his schooling, he would go work, get some money, or weekends used to work, take some money, buy some basics for the home, carry on like that. His mother couldn't work, elderly. But now he needed to go study. He managed to secure a bursary. But now who's going to see to his mother? So he went to the local supermarket that happened to be owned by a Muslim person. He went to him and said, listen, he knew him well. He said, I need a big favor from you. Can you, every week, give my mother her groceries, right? I got few years to study. Give me an account. Can you consider me? Give me an account. When I finish my studies, when I start working, I'll pay you everything back. So he said, no problem. By all means. And he said like this, every week his mother used to take, used to write it down, take, write it down. When he would come down his holidays, he would check everything, he would show him, okay, look, okay, so much, should I carry on, should I carry on, should I carry on? He said he carried on like that. Now he's narrating the story before a whole host of South African reporters from all the media houses, which is being broadcast nationally and in fact internationally too. The entire lawyers association of the entire South Africa are all paying attention. They are all paying attention because now he's just been elected as the Deputy Chief Justice of the country, which is like the second highest position, which arguably sometimes is even more powerful than the President of the country. And he says that after I finished my studies and I started working and I got my first, you know, check, I got my first salary, so I went back to this person and he even mentioned his name, but I went back to him and I said, sir, listen, here's the first payment towards that amount. So he said, this person turned around and said to me, listen, all of that from my side, you don't have to pay back 1 cent. He became very emotional on state TV. He said, I couldn't believe it. It wasn't a small amount. It wasn't a small amount. So he said, but what? Why? He says, no. I just want you to take 1 lesson. But I want you to be kind to others like how I was kind to you. And he says that that became a motto in my life, an inspiration to me in my life. And in fact, he started an entire organization that helped so many people to get their bursaries into university, help their families. But what was it? Now that particular person who had given that as a gift to this person, he didn't give it so that one day this person goes on state TV and announces his name and has a big hoo-ha about him. He did it at that time for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah taught him to be kind. And he even mentioned afterwards that he was a Muslim person. He said, yeah, Muslims are taught to give charity to others. And I knew this person was in need. I felt I wanted to help him. Ikhlas. When you do something for the pleasure of Allah, purely for the pleasure of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, there's purity in that action, there's quality in that action, you will see the effect of it. And the effect of that didn't happen immediately. Because when that person gave it to him, he was still starting off in his law, in his career in law. He then had to study and continue practicing as a lawyer for many, many, many years. Until that person, who was the owner of the supermarket too, was elderly, in his 70s. That's the only time it became known. And now everyone looks at this person and says, Subhanallah, what a generous person, what a generous person, what a generous person. So that's the fruit. The fruit doesn't grow overnight. The seed doesn't just suddenly grow, give you fruits immediately. It slowly takes time. This is what ikhlas and sincerity is. That if you do an action, it may be a small thing, but you did it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, without any, you know, desire for name or fame or acknowledgement or some payment in return, you find that that action has a great impact. And this is what Rasulullah Ta'ala teaches us. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That actions are based on their intentions. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. The person who wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, then let him or her do good deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And when they are doing those good deeds, they should not ascribe any partner to Allah in that good deed. In other words, if you perform salah, you perform salah for Allah and not for anyone else. Then I hope that uncle is watching, because I know he's got a daughter. So if he sees me in the first step, or that person is a very wealthy man, my boss, if he sees me reading salah in the first step, then he'll give me a higher pay. He'll increase my salary. He said, beta, I show you in the first step, so next month I'm giving you 300 and more. So now obviously the person who is reading salah for that, with that intention, that action will never be accepted in Allah's court. It won't be accepted in Allah's court. Whereas if the person performs salah for Allah's pleasure, then Allah in that same salary will give him the barakat of never mind 300, 3000. That he wanted to upgrade his car with new mags, and suddenly one cousin of his phone said, listen, my car got smashed here, lying in the yard, so take the man and go. Got no need for it. Allah put it in his heart, suddenly he thought he'd upgrade and pay so much and saving too, and suddenly he came without him spending 1 cent. It's examples, many examples of this. Allah Ta'ala, with the barakat of that sincerity, opens up doors for the person. Not one door, many doors. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, today, as we mentioned, that hypocrisy and hypocrites are increasing exponentially. If we may say, they're breeding like flies. every direction you turn, nifaq, hypocrisy, hypocrisy, no sincerity, ulterior motives. Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, a great wali of Allah Ta'ala, is to say, ya nifaq jo hai, sikka raijul waqt. This hypocrisy has become the currency of the time. Currency of the time. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy. People show a certain face, but in the heart is something else. Our reality should be that the heart, our external and internal, they are equal. That if the person is giving you a sincere smile, he's sincere within his heart. Not that behind your back this person is stabbing you. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with this quality of ikhlas and sincerity. May Allah protect us from hypocrisy. There are signs of hypocrisy. We don't have the time. But the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given certain signs. The person who lies when he speaks. When he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. When he's entrusted with something, he does not fulfill that trust. He violates that trust. These are signs and indicators that there's a possibility there's hypocrisy in the heart. Like now you have COVID-19. They're telling the shortness of breath is a sign. When the person is coughing is a sign. When the person is losing taste in the mouth, this could be a sign. Now if the person sees any of these symptoms, how worried he becomes. Hey, I hope I don't have it. We should be even more concerned if we've got any of the signs of hypocrisy. May Allah protect us. So with having said that, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant us these qualities. Inshallah we'll make some dhikrullah and we'll terminate. And once again, as we mentioned in the start, that this world is a world of means and we should adopt the means. In fact, according to many ulama, that person who does not adopt the means, as a result he becomes ill, or as a result his car gets stolen, or as a result his money gets robbed, then in fact this person will be regarded as sinful. Because he was negligent. He was negligent in protecting himself. So therefore we should adopt the means of protecting ourselves. The doctors are advising us that wearing of masks can give you some level of protection. Of course we know that only Allah Ta'ala is the best of protecting. But this world is a world of means. So we will adopt the means. The person who is running a shop in a dangerous area, what does he do? They sometimes even put bulletproof glass, puts bars in front, puts a security guard outside. But he knows very well that if Allah Ta'ala wants, all of that will fail. But that does not stop him from adopting the means. So in the same way, we should make a lot of dua that we don't have another lockdown. This country cannot afford another lockdown. But at the same time, if there is a surge, then let us protect ourselves. Let us protect our children. Let us protect our family members. Wear the mask, sanitize, wash the hands. Start being a bit more cautious. In fact, some doctors have even said that the second wave is even more deadlier than the first wave. And for many of us, we don't know. But if you look at other countries, in particular right now in Pakistan, second wave is turning out to be so deadly. Just today we received news of Mufti Zarur Ali Khan Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, great Mufassir, passed away. Hazrat Maulana Hakim Mohammed Mazhar Sahab, who, mashallah, came here, came to Durban, our Sheikh, is very, very ill, also with COVID. With dua Allah Ta'ala grant them all shifa. They are suffering. And now to turn around and say, what is all this thing here? Where is the yaqeen? It's a conspiracy theory. People are suffering on the ground. You can see people suffering. You can hear people battling for breath. As I said, the voice clip hardly barely speak. So people are suffering. We should not be in. We should be protect ourselves from being insensitive to others. Some people have gone through armed robbery, where they had people entering, invading their homes, beating them up. And now to turn around and say, no, don't worry, all these things happen, don't worry. Allah will protect you and you must have yaqeen, carry on. You stay in the same house, keep your doors open. What's meant to happen is meant to happen. what's not meant to happen will not happen. There, people have gone through trauma. I know of certain people who have faced the home invasion. They're so terrified, they can't even live in the house any longer. Now to turn around and say, where's your people's yaqeen, and what's wrong with you all, and why? It's fear, natural fear. Some people with the COVID, they got so ill that they thought they're going to pass away. I know of people who even become unconscious due to the COVID. Their blood count became so low that when the doctors tried to take out blood, no blood is coming out. One youngster, perfectly healthy, suddenly her organs started failing. Pastor, no underlying symptoms. So people are afraid, but people see these things, it's natural to be afraid, and now we want to protect ourselves. So therefore it's nothing wrong. Don't look down on someone who's wearing a mask. In fact, you should regard that person as being responsible. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the true understanding, and may Allah Ta'ala bless us with tolerance. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with tolerance. Tolerate the opinions of others. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Recite Durood Shareef.
لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا الى انفسنا طرفه عين، فانك ان تكلنا الى انفسنا تكلنا الى ضعف وذنب وخطيئه وعوره. O Kareem Allah, Rahim Allah, most forgiving, most loving, most caring Allah. Forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah, our major sins, minor sins, those which we committed knowingly, unknowingly in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us with the quality of sincerity, Ya Allah. That our actions, Ya Allah, our salah, our zakat, our fasting, Ya Allah. Our khidmat, Ya Allah, our works of deed, Ya Allah. Our khidmat for our parents, for our children, for our family members, Ya Allah. All our actions and activities, Ya Allah, are solely and only for your pleasure, Ya Allah. Allah, protect us, Ya Allah, from ulterior motives, Ya Allah. Allah, you are the provider, Ya Allah. You are the owner of the heavens and the earth, Ya Allah. You are the owner of the treasures of the heavens and the earth, Ya Allah. There is no shortage in your treasures, Ya Allah. You are the true provider, Ya Allah. You are the Rajif, Ya Allah. You are the Khaliq, Ya Allah. You are, Ya Allah, the Malikul Mulk, the King of all kings, Ya Allah. You are the provider, Ya Allah. Why should we do actions for others, Ya Allah? When you are the real Malik, Ya Allah. When you are the real King, Ya Allah. Allah bless us with sincerity, Ya Allah. Let us do our activities solely and only for your pleasure, Ya Allah. Allah protect us from hypocrisy, Ya Allah. Allah protect us from nifaq, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-nifaq, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with strong iman, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with your ishq, Ya Allah. With the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the love for deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, keep us in the company, Ya Allah, of the mukhlisin, Ya Allah, of the sincere ones, of the muttaqeen, Ya Allah. And you are the one who knows who are the muttaqeen, Ya Allah. Those who have got fear for you, Ya Allah. Keep us in the company of the pious, Ya Allah. Allah make us pious, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, let us never regard ourselves as pious, Ya Allah. Bless us with the quality of humility, Ya Allah. That we regard ourselves as the weakest, Ya Allah. Oh Allah is the most sinful servant, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, keep us in sirat al-mustaqim, Ya Allah. Make us a means of hidayah for others, Ya Allah. Blow the winds of hidayah in this town, Ya Allah. In every single home, Ya Allah. Make us a means of hidayah for people in this area, Ya Allah. Let our character be a means of hidayah, Ya Allah. Let our deeds be a means of hidayah, Ya Allah. Let our noble and good conduct be a means of guiding others, Ya Allah. A means of inspiration for others, Ya Allah. Let our character, Ya Allah, and our conduct be a means of attracting others towards Islam, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, unite the hearts of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children, spouses, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, brothers and sisters, Ya Allah, family members in the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, this Ummah has been fragmented, Ya Allah. Over and over again, Ya Allah. Especially by the munafiqeen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you protect, Ya Allah. You protect the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa, Ya Allah. Those who are in hospitals, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, our mashayikh, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Hazrat, Ya Allah, is unwell, Ya Allah. Mukammal shifa, mukammal shifa, mukammal shifa, Ya Allah. And there are many others, too, Ya Allah, who are oxygen, Ya Allah. Some, Ya Allah, doctors want to put them on ventilators, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make it easy for all of them, Ya Allah. Allah, do not test us, Ya Allah. They talk of a second wave, Ya Allah. They're extremely weak, Ya Allah. Do not test us, Ya Allah. Allah, we cannot afford another lockdown, Ya Allah. We cannot afford another disruption, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, therefore, Ya Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. Protect our families, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, the responsibility and the sensibility, Ya Allah, to adopt the means, Ya Allah, of protecting ourselves and curbing the spread of the virus, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we know that it is because of our sins that indeed this virus has spread, Ya Allah. It is because of our sins that there is so much of insecurity in this country. It is because of our sins there is so much of instability in this country, Ya Allah. It is because of our sins that Masjid al-Aqsa has been snatched away from the hands of the Muslims. Lakin, Ya Allah, oh Allah, what else can we do, Ya Allah, besides asking you for forgiveness, Ya Allah?
Allah, change the conditions, Ya Allah. Restore Masjid al-Aqsa to the hands of the Muslimin, Ya Allah. Allah, change the conditions in this country from instability to stability, from insecurities to security, Ya Allah. Remove the pandemic, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us all the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to make rujoo to you, to turn towards you, Ya Allah. Allah, to seek forgiveness for our sins, Ya Allah. To change the direction of our lives, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. O Allah, fill our hearts with hatred of sins, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love for good deeds, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.